We're going to look together at that psalm we read, Psalm 46. Psalm 46. What will 2022 bring? The future is a bit frightening just now. Just a few weeks ago, some politicians were boasting that they got this virus under control and that the end of that was near at hand. But it's always foolish to boast, and because God can shatter our boasting in no time at all. And so we find the virus really rampaging forward just now. Will it get worse? People are scared about that. But COVID is not the only scare. What about this problem in Ukraine? All those Russian tanks lined up on the border with Ukraine. Is Russia going to invade that country? If it does so, what will that mean for us? It looks very frightening. But there are other problems. COVID, Russian tanks. There's also this problem with the climate. The temperature rising to alarming heights. Water supplies drying up. Wildlife perishing. Many, many problems as we face the future. Many people are scared about this climate change. Who knows what catastrophes, what calamities may hit this world in the future. And quite apart from that, the international situation, who knows what personal problems we'll face in this next year or in the coming years? Will we be taken seriously ill? Will we lose a loved one? We don't know. There are many scares as we look into the future. So this morning I want to tell you about a passage from the Bible which down through the centuries has given untold comfort and courage to God's people as they face the future. Psalm 46 is a psalm which has kept God's people calm and kept them going through many a crisis. The thing that strikes you as you read the psalm is the calmness and confidence with which the psalmist faces the future. Nowhere is that calmness and confidence seen more clearly than in verses 2 and 3. Listen to what he says. We will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains fall into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains tremble. When the writer wrote this psalm, the future looked very bleak indeed. He saw great trials and calamities arising. He uses poetic language, dramatic language. He says, the earth may well give way, the mountains may well quake and fall into the sea, the rivers and seas may roar and foam and surge. He could see times of great calamity coming. We can't be sure when this psalm was written, but many believe it was composed at the time when the Assyrian army was threatening the land of Judah. The Assyrian army had already attacked the country of Israel, and now Judah was under threat. And the psalmist could see alarming calamities arising. The earth giving way, so to speak. The mountains trembling, so to speak. And falling into the sea. The simple question I put to you is this. What was the secret of this man's peace and calmness as he faced this alarming future? How can you and I face coming months with all their uncertainties, calmly and serenely and peacefully? The family problems that may arise, the personal problems that may arise. We may lose our jobs. How can we face all of that calmly in the future? Well, the man lets us into his secret. It was what he knew about God that kept him calm. The word therefore at the beginning of verse 2. The word therefore. Therefore we will not fear. That connects with the previous verse. God is our refuge and strength. Therefore we will not fear. It is what we know about God that keeps us calm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. It was what this man knew and remembered about God that kept him calm. What did he know about God? First of all, he reminded himself who God is, that God is God. At the end of the psalm, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." Well, the psalmist had done that. He sat still one day, calmly, and thought about God. And he'd reminded himself that God is God. Twice in the psalm, in verse 7 and verse 11, he refers to God as the Lord of hosts. Yahweh, Jehovah, of hosts is with us. Jehovah Yahweh is the great name for God in the Old Testament. It was so sacred that Jewish people wouldn't even utter the word Yahweh, Jehovah. It was so sacred. But it reminds us that he is the Lord of hosts. That means he's the Lord of the heavens. Sometimes the heavens are referred to as the heavenly host. And all the angels, and all the spiritual beings in the heavens. When Jesus was born, the heavenly host sang to the shepherds on those hills. And God is the ruler of those heavenly hosts, all the angels and the archangels. Sometimes the word host refers to the moon and the stars and the sun and the planets. God is the Lord of that as well. He controls the sun. He controls the moon. He controls the planets. He rules them all. He's the Lord of hosts. And sometimes the word hosts refers to all the armies of men, whether it be the Russian army, or the Israeli army, or whatever you like. American army, the British army. God rules all of that. He's in control. Generals may make decisions, but God is the one who's the Lord of hosts. He is Jehovah of hosts. He is the ruler of the heavens, the planets, the sun, moon, and stars. He's the ruler of men and women here on earth. He's the ruler of all the armies of the world. He's the ruler of everything. Jehovah of hosts. But then this man who wrote the psalm reminds himself of something else about God. He's our God. He is our God. He has entered into a special relationship with his people. In verses 7 and 11, he refers to him not only as the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, but as the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. And that means he had a special relationship with Jacob and his descendants in the land of Palestine. This man reminded himself that. It helped to keep him calm. That he was the God of Jacob and all the descendants of Jacob. And if we're Christians spiritually, we are descendants of Jacob spiritually. You see, Jacob was a poor, unworthy wretch, a sinner, a deceitful man, really. But God saved him. God had a special plan for him. God saved him. And we are all sinful wretches. We've done some awful things in our lives. But if we're Christians, God has saved us. We're the descendants of Jacob in that spiritual sense. He is our God. He is the God of Jacob. The God of a poor wretch like Jacob. And the God of poor wretches like us, who sin so much but have been forgiven by God's grace and mercy. The Lord of hosts and the God of Jacob. He's our God. Why should we ever be anxious? This mighty ruler of the whole universe is our God, watching over us and caring for us. Then go on to remind yourself of something else. Because he is your Father, because he is your God, he is with you. This man says, the Lord Almighty is with us. Twice he says that. The Lord Almighty is with us. There was a time before we became Christians when there was a great chasm between us and God. We were separated from God. We were miles away from God. But now that we're Christians, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is with us. We've been brought near to God. Always remember that. The future may be alarming. You may as well see the mountains trembling and you may wonder what's going to happen. But remember this, if you're a Christian, the Lord of hosts, God is with you. We've been brought near to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised in his word, when you pass through the deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through difficult experiences, says God, I'll be with you. I'm your God. I'm your Father. There you are. There's a terrible storm brewing in your life. The wind is howling. The mountain's shaking, it seems. The river is roaring. It's burst its banks. You're in terrible trouble. But the Lord of hosts is with you. He's watching over you and caring for you. With that in mind, we can face the future very calmly. There's a wonderful hymn which says, a sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles, and my comforts abound. His grace, as the dew, shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul he delights to defend. Let the future bring what it will. If you're a Christian, the Lord is with you. He was even with a man like Jacob. And he's even with poor sinners like us because of his grace and mercy. But the writer hasn't finished yet talking about God. There's so much more to say about God, so much more to keep us calm. He gives us strength. God is our refuge and strength, says the psalmist. God is our refuge and strength. He infuses strength into us. That's a great mystery, but it's a marvelous truth. The future may bring great troubles and may bring great demands. The future may bring very great trials. Maybe as you look ahead, you can see them coming. But the Lord will be with you and he'll give you strength. The prophet Isaiah puts it like this. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths, these young fellows, so strong and fit, even youths may grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. God will give us strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. they will walk and not be faint. The Lord gives strength. The Apostle Paul says that we should be strengthened with might by God in the inner man. God gives us strength. Hasn't that been your experience? As you look back over your life, that's certainly been my experience. I saw some great trial coming. I saw some great storm brewing. And I thought to myself, whatever am I going to do? Whatever am I going to do? But the storm came. And it was very intense. But God seemed to give unusual strength to face the storm. That has been the experience of many, many Christians. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even that task which seems so impossible. Even that trial which seems so dreadful. I can face up to it. Because Christ gives me strength. There's a verse of the Bible which says, as our days, so shall our strength be. Someone gave us that text on a card in the late 1960s when my wife and I were facing great trials. And it's meant so much to us ever since. We have it on our mantelpiece. As your days, so shall your strength be. You do not know what tomorrow will demand of you. You do not know what trial will come your way tomorrow. It may be something awful. But the Lord will give you strength if you trust in him. The Lord is our refuge and strength. That's wonderful. But then not only will he give us strength, the writer says in the psalm that the Lord will supply all our needs. All the needs of the people of God. Verse 4 he says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. What does that mean? Well, you know that when these ancient cities were besieged by an enemy, the most important thing was to keep the water supply flowing. If only the water kept running into the city, they would be okay. They could survive the siege long as they could keep the water flowing into the city. Water is a basic need, and the supply of water has to be secure. That was particularly true of Jerusalem. Very well, says this man, even in the midst of the most alarming circumstances, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It's a poetic way of saying that God will supply all our needs. God is a kind of river of grace, supplying all our needs. Things may be hard. Things may be desperate. Trials may be awful. But God will supply all our needs. John Newton wrote about that in one of his hymns. See the streams of living water springing from eternal love. Well supply your sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Who can faint while such a river ever flows their thirst to assuage? Grace, which like the Lord their giver, never fails from age to age. No matter how difficult the way becomes, if we're God's children, in his grace he will provide all our needs. He will supply every need. Are you worried about how you will feed and clothe the children if the price of electricity and gas goes up and the bill is double or treble it what it was in the past? Are you wondering how you'll feed and clothe the children? Are you scared about how you'll cope with the big problems you're facing? The Lord will supply all your needs. He will not supply everything we want, Some of the things we want are not good for us. Some of the things we want, we'd be better off if we didn't get them. God has never promised to supply all our wants, but he's promised to supply all our needs. So whatever your needs in 2022, the Lord will supply them if you're one of his children. But I go on. You see what I'm trying to do this morning? I'm just trying to show you how the psalmist was able to keep calm and steady at a time of great unrest and be at peace when faced with the most uncertain future. He reminded himself that God is the Lord God Almighty, that God had a special relationship with him and the tribe of Jacob, that God was with him and would protect him and strengthen him and supply all his needs. But on top of that, he reminds himself of God's help in the past. There's no greater comfort in the face of an uncertain future than to remind yourself of God's help in the past. Verses 8 and 9, he reminds himself, urges others to remember occasions when God has helped them in the past. Come and see the works of the Lord, he says, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields or chariots in the fire. What is the psalmist talking about? Well, he's thinking, for instance, about that time when the people of God were being chased by Pharaoh. They were in the process of leaving the land of Egypt into slavery. But Pharaoh and his army were chasing them. And they came to the Red Sea. And God caused the Red Sea to dry up so that they crossed over. And then God caused the Red Sea to come back again, and all Pharaoh's chariots were destroyed. God had helped them in the past in wonderful ways. God is thinking about those times when the Midianites were opposing the people of God. God stepped in, and God used Gideon and just 300 men to defeat the Midianite army. So many times in the past, God has helped these people of Israel. When they were in great danger, God has helped them. And God has helped us in the past. The fact that he's helped us in the past should help us to face the future. You look into the future and you're fearful. But remind yourself of that time of great need. Maybe 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. How desperate things were then. But God stepped in and provided your needs in a wonderful way. Remember the time when you were unsaved and guilty before God and on the way to hell. You could never have been in greater danger than that. Unsaved. Hastening to have lost eternity in hell. But God stepped in and saved you. He's done that for you in the past. The most amazing thing God could ever do for you. He's done that. Shouldn't that give you hope for the future? That no matter what comes your way, if you're a child of God, he'll help you. He's helped you in the past. He'll help you in the future. His love in time past forbids me to think. He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to see me right through. Then there's one last thing we need to remember about God if we want to be calm and steady as we face the future. And that is that he will be victorious. Listen to what the Lord said to this man. The psalmist quotes it for us in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We live at a time in our country when the vast majority of men and women couldn't care less about God. When the vast majority of men and women flout the Lord of God. When many, many people deny things which are plainly taught in Scripture, that God created them male and female. The Bible says that. That God created a man and a wife to be loyal to each other. And God, well, he's flouted now. And his Lord is flouted. And these things which have been believed about God over generations are now totally denied. And it seems as though God is defeated. But that's at the end of the story. God says here at the end of the psalm, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The day is coming when every knee will have to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even people who've mocked him, even people who've derided him, even people who've sworn his name as an oath and a curse. A day is coming when every knee will have to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every person will have to acknowledge that God is almighty. And God will be seen to be the ruler. And he'll judge the world. And those who've denied him and those who've cursed him and those who've had no time for him will be cast into hell tragically. And those who've loved him and served him will be taken to live with him in his eternal realm, the new heavens and the new earth. So God says to the psalmist, be still. Remember that. Don't get agitated. When you see alarming things happening, don't get agitated. Just be still. And remember that I am God. And I will be exalted in the earth. I will be recognized one day. The day is coming when every man and woman will have to acknowledge that God is great. That's how to keep calm in the face of a very certain future, uncertain future. That's how to keep calm when terrible trials loom on the horizon. Can I ask you, my friend, do you know this great God? The Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, the refuge and strength of every Christian, this great God who will be exalted in the earth, this great God before whom everyone will bow, do you know him? Do you believe in his Son? This great God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, and allowed his own dear Son to die upon the cross, to bear the punishment that was due to sinners like us. God allowed his own dear Son to come and bear that punishment, and his own dear Son willingly came and did that. And it's possible through that to know God as your own Father. Do you know him? Is he real to you? Have you been brought near to God? Is it the most wonderful thing in your life that God is watching over you day after day and caring for you and providing for you? If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be your position. You'll be able to be calm like the psalmist because the Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your refuge.